service starts Wednesday night. Thursday's the first full day. Our Passover congregational Seder is going to be Sunday. We'll be counting the Omer. We'll be counting up to Shavuot. And once we get to Shavuot, we're going to have our miknik, our time, our picnic, and our mikvah merged together. We'll be emerging, if anyone who wants to go through the waters, and I'll speak about that more as we get closer to it, what that means. But let's get into the message today. This week, the portion starts off with sacrifices again. As I said during the Torah drash, it seemed very similar, except it's got a little more detail this week. And there's even a second part that's not just detail about the sacrifices themselves, but there are details about how to prepare for them, how the priests were to prepare for them. So, as I like to do, let me ask a question. Which is more important to Adonai? The thing that's being prepared, the thing that is the sacrifice, or the person presenting the sacrifice? And most of the time when I ask a question like that, you guys know the answer. The answer is yes, it's both. It's more than just about giving. But even more important, it's the whole package, which you're included in that package. The how, the who, the what is important to Adonai. The how, the who, and the what are really three legs of a stool. And if one of those things is not present, then the stool can't be sat upon. It just tips over all on its own. I see you're all looking at the screen. It's got some things up there. We haven't gotten to that part yet. But even as we look at these three things, our attention should really expand to more than just these three things. Because we look at a lot of things. We look at the sacrifice. We look at who's giving the sacrifice. We look at the tent that the sacrifice was given. We look at the pots, the pans, the shovels, the places that the sacrifices were done. Each are important, but only because of the how, who, and the what that it's concerning. If you want to say there really should be a why, well, I can't fight that very much. But really, the why becomes a part of the who. So we'll get into that. The focus on the portion are the priests, especially the back end of it. During the time of the tabernacle, right? These were the priests during the time of the tabernacle, later on during the time of the temple. But it's important to us today because we are the priests today. We're not to think less of the offering because someone else is to do it for the people, or because some think that it was then, but it's not really for now. But it really is also for today and what we do. So we read in chapter 8 how Adonai, how Aaron and the sons, the priests, were to be prepared for the service of Adonai. And even before going forward to read about from there, I want to prepare us for it. Because I want to make sure that when we hear what the priests were supposed to do or what was supposed to be done for the priests, that we understand that it's for a time right now as well, for us as well as believers. It's for you because you are called to be a priest of Adonai. It's not a calling to replace the priests. That's not what I'm saying. Or some would want to interpret it that the Gentile church is to replace the Jewish priests. But we are to join together alongside both Jew and Gentile as priests and as ambassadors and those who spread and live out the word of Adonai. Excuse me, got a little back drip. From the Tanakh, we can see that Adonai calls us all to be priests who will stand before Adonai. We see this in Exodus 19. Starting in verse 3, it says this. Exodus 19:3, Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, "Say this to the house of Jacob, and tell Bnei Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel." So we see that in verse 6, that the words were to all of Bnei Israel, not just the Levites, not just the priests, but to all the people of Israel. And because there were some of the nations who came out of Egypt with Israel, they too were at the foot of Mount Sinai with them. And I believe they are included, just as you today, as if you're Gentile, are engrafted in. So they were engrafted in to be included as part of the people of Israel. Therefore, they would be included as we are all, Jew and Gentile, included as priests of Adonai. Therefore, today, it is all who still follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who have the calling upon them. And we see that it is continued, this whole thought process of all being priests in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, in verses from the letters that Peter wrote. So 1 Peter 2, verse starting in verse 4. As I come to, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up as spiritual houses, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. We see that it is us, believers in Messiah Yeshua, that are called to be the priesthood who minister, not just before him, but for him, to a world that needs to see and hear that Adonai is King of Kings and Creator of the world, and that Yeshua is the Messiah for all men and all women. So now let's go back to Leviticus 8 and the priests. They were first to be washed and then dressed properly. And then there was a bull sacrifice as a sin offering, after which the first ram was offered as a burnt offering, which they were to lay their hands on its head, and it was to be slaughtered. They were to slaughter it, they were to wash it, and they were to burn it. Then we get to verse 22. This is the second ram. Leviticus 8:22, starting there. Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it, and then he turned down his phone. Because he didn't want to interrupt Adonai or his word. Someone who was in the sanctuary. Guys, don't text me, Jane. I'm not. All right. Let's start over. Leviticus 8:22. Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it, took some of the blood, and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb, and on the right toe. I'm not going to show you my right toe. Then Moses brought Aaron's son and put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the great toes of their right feet. Then Moses splashed the blood around the altar. And then after this, there was the separation of the fat from the offering. The wave offering was made from the part of the ram, and then it was burnt completely. And I want to look today at the part where the blood was placed on the earlobe, the thumb, and the big toe. The blood was to be placed on the priest for a greater purpose than just making them stained with blood, but to actually do the opposite, to cleanse them, and also to remind them that the life that they were to live out was to be for Adonai. The blood was applied to the right side of the body as a sign of strength. Throughout Scripture, we see the right side being a sign of strength as Messiah sits at the right hand of Adonai, the Father in heaven. And that whenever Adonai moved, it was always described as his right hand, his mighty right hand, moving. But why the ear, thumb, and toe? For the answer to this, we need to look at the commandments of Adonai. Most will separate the commandments into three categories. Some have called them theological, or the relationship that we have with Adonai and knowing that he's Adonai, the Lord of all. Ethical, and how to treat other people. And ritual, which is how we walk out the commandments. Others state them with a lot fewer words. Hearing, doing, and walking. Hearing the word, doing the word, and walking out in our lives for Adonai. I think that there's a lot of truth in both ways of saying it. So let's look at these three things. The first were theological, or hearing, which relates to the blood on the ear. The blood on the ear represents and reminds us to hear and listen to the commandments. Not really just to hear them, but to know them. But also to know how they affect our relationship with Adonai. By hearing the commandments, we learn who Adonai is and what we are to do to follow him correctly. The primary way that we were to be believers in Adonai and the Messiah that he sent is to ensure that we're following Exodus 20, verse 3, while following him. Now, this is the first of the Ten Commandments. It's given to Moses from Mount Sinai, Exodus 20, verse 3. Starting there and a couple of verses after that, it says this, "You shall have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to them. Do not let anyone make you serve them. For I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousands of generations of those who love me. Keep my mitzvot. Keep my commandments." I think that the blood was put on the priest's ear first, because if you're not able to know and follow this, then all else fails in your life. Placing Adonai first and not creating images of him is giving the position of importance of being first commandment as a way of verifying how important it is. And Yeshua tells us, you know, basically the same thing, that it is the most important thing. We read in Matthew 22:37 when he's asked, what's the greatest of the commandments? Matthew 22:37-8 says this, and he said to him, you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. Yeshua quoted from Deuteronomy 6, saying that if you cannot get this right, then you cannot get anything else truly right in your world, in your life. Just as instructions of Torah are the foundations of right living for all, the love of Adonai first is the foundation for all of Torah. It's the only way to have a right relationship with Adonai, which is the only way to ensure that we can have the righteousness bestowed upon us by Adonai that we need in order to stand before him for all eternity. The blood on the ear is to remind us to hear that Adonai is the one and only creator and king of the world. It puts him first and sets us up for success in following not just the Torah, but following him. Now, next was the blood on the thumb, which was called the ethical mitzvot, or the doing of the commandments. If we return to Matthew 22 to see what Yeshua said was the second most important commandment, we see that he said this, Matthew 22:39-40. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Torah and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Again, Yeshua goes back to the Torah, and this time quotes from Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:17, starting there. And you are not to hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you are to firmly rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You are not to take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai. You know, if we go back to the list of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we would see that the whole back half, and really the last six of the Ten Commandments, were about how to treat others. The first six are your relationship with Adonai. The back half is how to treat other people, starting with your mother and father, including your neighbors, and everyone that you come in contact with. And although it's true that loving Adonai first is the most important, loving everyone else is not possible without true love of Adonai within us. And another way of saying it is that if we don't love others, then we cannot really have the love of Adonai within us. Not killing, not stealing, not lying, not committing adultery are all ways of not only loving your neighbor, but ways of loving Adonai as well. There can be no separation of loving Adonai and loving others while living rightly. They have to go together. And finally, we get to the blood on the big toe, which are the ritual mitzvot, or the commandments of walking out our lives, which teach us to add moments of holiness in our life. Excuse me, I got a little. These are the things we do that remind us Adonai is in our lives. They are the things that we sometimes do, but take for granted because they become rote. We do it all the time. Scripture gives us some examples of these, like from Deuteronomy 5. Starting in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 5, it says, observe Yom Shabbat and keep it holy, as Adonai your God commanded you. 6 days you are to labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Shabbat to Adonai your God. In it you are not to do any work. Now that sounds familiar to us, right? Not you or your son or your daughter or your slave or your maid or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the outsiders within your gates, so that your slave and your maid may rest as you do. He called to maintain Shabbat, which if we're not careful, we can become lax in our observation of it, or forget why we come together and start to think that it's really just for fellowship with each other. We'll catch up next week. There are some churches or congregations that the people think they come together to support each other or to share with each other. That's actually called a country club, not a congregation. Yes, we come together to fellowship, but the primary reason is because of the commandment to observe Shabbat. And the Shabbat is not just observed, but we observe it unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. And there are other rituals or commandments, some even call traditions, that are done to remind us of our place in Adonai. We see this at the end of the service, both in thanking him for the wine and the bread, as well as the Aaronic benediction. Both are great. Both are wonderful. But if we lose their connection to Adonai, then they just become words. Words spoken so that we can get on to the next thing. There's an oneg next door. Let's get through this part and get to the food. Then we can get to the fellowship with each other. But that's not what Adonai wants us to do. He wants us to remember why he tells us to do things. And he tells us to do these things to remember that he is the Lord. He's the reason for the Shabbat. He's the reason we come together. And there are many people who want to live out their lives in ways that may mirror Torah or the instructions. But the problem is they also don't want to be told how to act. They don't want to be told how to live out their lives. People believe that the idea of rules are good, but they really should just be a guide to us, not really rules that we have to solidly live by. They just need to guide us in the right direction, you know, a little here, a little there. And when I worked as an underwriter at a bank, I used to approve loans. And the bank would give us rules to follow. And the idea was they gave us the rules to follow to minimize the risk of the loan, to make sure that the bank didn't take any losses. And I got to be honest with you, as an underwriter, yeah, it's kind of comforting. But also, it was, you know, rules are made to be broken. And the bank, you know, they weren't that far off on that. They agreed. There were exceptions to be made. But they gave us what the strengths need, what the offsetting strengths need to be in order to make the exception. The fact was, and reality was, that I could sign off on a loan, and that loan would get closed, the money would be paid out before anybody else would review the paperwork, whether I did it correctly or not. People could walk out with $500,000, $750,000, and nobody else looked at it. And later on, if they reviewed it, they could come back and say, Larry, that was wrong. This loan's on you if it goes bad. Because I didn't follow their rules. People today believe that the instructions Adonai gives are the same kind of guidelines that I had at the bank. Except they're the ones who want to determine the offsetting strengths when they make an exception to Torah, when they make the exception to the rules that we're told to follow. They make decisions for themselves when God's rules can be broken. The problem is, when I broke a rule at the bank, I was basically taking responsibility for the loan. Now, they may not have come to me and said, hey, the loan went bad, where's our $500,000? But they did come back and say, you know where you went wrong. We know you're okay normally, but you were wrong on this one. So let's learn from it so it doesn't go forward. The problem is, when we break the rules with Adonai, willfully break the rules of Adonai, we're taking responsibility for our own eternity. If we break his rules, then no longer will Adonai stand in the gap for us. Now we have to defend ourselves. Now we have to protect ourselves. And the problem is, we can't. Not when it comes to eternity. Of course there's grace, but there's only grace for those who don't purposefully break the rules. Now, one rabbi, when I was reading commentary, one rabbi said he had struggled with the idea of commandments, which in Hebrew is the name of the Torah portion this week, right? Zav. It's when he was told by another rabbi that in Aramaic, Zav means to connect. Different word, different meaning in Arabic than it is in Hebrew. But once he heard that in Aramaic, Zav means to connect, he was able to, in his mind, feel better about God's commandments. Because he felt that since the Aramaic language was such an important language among the Hebrew people, that it was okay to transform his understanding of what Adonai wanted. He no longer was he commanded to do, but instead he was suggested how to connect with God. The thought was that it was okay to change a word because it sounded like another word, even though it was a totally different language. Adonai spoke, in this passage, he spoke in Hebrew when he says Zav. But if we change one word to Aramaic, the rabbi thought that would be okay. He could just take the commandments as suggestions. I don't understand how that works, to be honest with you. The rabbi felt that by changing his understanding of Adonai's words, that he was able to go from being forced to follow commandments to making the decision for himself. He said he went from being a servant to Adonai. Oh, how awful! To being a partner with Adonai. Ah, that's so much more comfortable. I want to say that it's true. Adonai is closer to us than a brother. He wants us to have a relationship with him. I also want to say he's also the father, though. He gets to say what he expects from us, how to love him, how to follow him. Remember the offerings of Cain and Abel way back in Genesis? Cain and Abel brought offerings to Adonai. Both brought what they felt was best. Abel brought from the flock because he heard Adonai and followed his words. And then Cain brought what he wanted to bring to Adonai. His vegetables, because that's what he liked. That's what he thought was best. Both brought what they thought was best. They both probably had the same kind of heart, thinking, all I have to do is bring the right thing. But only one was accepted. And to be clear, it wasn't Cain's vegetables, because he brought what he thought. He brought his decision to Adonai. I can change things just a little bit here and there. Now, going back to the passage where the blood was placed on the priest's ear, thumb, and toe, it was to be a reminder to them and a reminder to us today that there are commandments to keep and that there are reasons to keep them. And he is the reason. If Adonai does not seem like a good reason to keep commandments to you, then you're placing yourself outside of his eternal protection and trying to go it alone. Whether you think you are or not, that's what you're doing. We as individuals want to have autonomy. We want to have our own thoughts. We want to be able to make our own decisions. But with that autonomy comes consequences, many of which, and most of them, are extremely severe. And the problem is we don't see it all the time, most of the time I'd even say, until it's too late. Until the end of our lives, until our lives end on this side of heaven. And then all of a sudden we're standing before him. The problem is there's no going back at that point. The decisions made now and here cannot be changed, and your eternity is set for eternity, forever. The decisions you don't even know you're making today set your eternity. Now, it sounds to many that there's a punishment for not following the commandments. But that's not really the case. It's not that there's a punishment for not following the commandments, but there are results that are not able to be modified once they're received. Once this life ends, the results of your life will arrive. When you're standing before the Creator of the world, will you have the required righteousness required to remain in His presence? Or will you be lacking that required righteousness and be banished from His presence and from His protection? That's not a punishment. That's not a punishment, but it's a result of decisions you make. Do you follow the commandments or the instructions of how to live so that you will have the righteousness to stand before Him for all eternity? Or will you make decisions today that give an appearance of righteousness? A false appearance of righteousness is the problem. Decisions are made every single day in your life that will determine your eternity. Will you look at the blood on the ear, on the thumb, and on the toe of the priests? The blood that should be on your ear, on your thumb, and on your toe. And be reminded why it's there. Or will you either forget why it's there, or even worse, refuse to have it applied to your life? The blood does not determine where you'll be for eternity. The decision you make about the blood determines where you'll be. The blood can only do one thing if it's applied correctly, if it's His blood. The decisions we make today about whether we allow His blood to be applied to our life is more important than most people want to say. There's probably, in this world, there's probably a majority of people who either falsely apply the blood, think they apply the blood, and actually haven't. And you can tell by their actions, by their speech, by their lives. Or they just flat out refuse. That's a sobering thought. The majority of people are not applying the blood that's being offered to them so that they can have an eternity before Adonai. Amen. The good news is, if you're here in the sanctuary or if you're there at home, it's not too late to apply the right blood. It's not too right to have the right reason for applying the blood in your life. And that's called a couple of different things when you hear people speak as believers. It's called running the good race, not leaving behind what He's taught you, not forgetting what He's taught you. Now, the good news is, it's not too late to be taught. If you have breath in your lungs, you can learn His instructions, His Torah, His scriptures. They start in Genesis. They run all the way through to Revelation. All you need to do is start to read. All you need to do is start to have faith in the one who gave us Torah. Amen. The Messiah came through His word. His word came through Mount Sinai and the meeting that Moses had. His word started at creation. It never, ever wasn't. Adonai doesn't change His mind ever. So here's my invite to you. Allow Adonai to apply blood to your ear, to your thumb, and to your toe as a reminder of how you should live. Start reading your scripture and pray acceptance of Messiah Yeshua into your life, because He's the one who provides the blood to apply to your ear, your thumb, and your toe. If you pray that for the first time today, reach out to me. Email, call me. They're both on my website, shalomsavannah.com, and let's talk about the decision you made. If you've walked away and you forgot what the blood was for, come on back. Give me a call. Let's talk and pray together. They're there for you because Adonai provided them just for you. Amen. Father, we thank you that you provided the blood that's applied to our lives. You applied it to our hearts, but you've also applied it to our earlobe, our thumb, and our toe as a reminder to hear and do and to walk out your life in our lives. Father, we just ask that you would make yourself known to those who do not know you yet, and that you would make yourself more present in the lives of all those who have accepted the blood of Yeshua to cleanse them and to remind them who you are. We just thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.